listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Trends with Dave and Friends. Every single Sunday on LATalkRadio.com, the best internet talk station in the world. It's a beautiful day, beautiful day. How's it going, everybody? This is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. I'm your host, David Cohen. We got in-studio guests today, Mr. Xander.
Hola.
Hello, sir. We got Jeffrey.
¿Qué pasó?
And, of course, co-host Kevi.
Buongiorno.
Yes, people. As we all know, it is Halloween today. It is Halloween today. It is Halloween today. And I'm going to wish all of you a happy Halloween. I'm just going to do it. Happy Halloween. Everybody. Yeah, no worries, Jeffrey. My pleasure. So if you guys want to contact us live on the air, you can do so. Call in 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. You can also email me and I will receive your emails live on the show. TeenTrendsWithDave@gmail.com. Once again, that's TeenTrends. With Dave at gmail.com. So, today on the show, we have a pretty controversial topic. As you know, on Teen Trends, this is the show where we help people out. We are putting ourselves out there for you. To help you out, we believe that we come from a logical teen perspective. At least that's what we like to believe. I mean, do you guys think so?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I'd say we have plenty of opinions on here.
We
to,
do.
Justify
we do. No, no.
Any... any yes. standpoint that yeah. we can come from.
So. I think your opinion is wrong.
We might have some, exactly. some of those sayings today,
we
actually.
Will indeed. Jeffrey, in studio guest. I'm going to call you Jeff.
You can, so long as I know you're referring to me.
Jeff.
How
Jeff.
About Jeff Senor Jefe.
That's cool.
He was on the show not too long ago, a dear friend of mine, and he... brought up the idea of conspiracy theories. Oh, I dropped the bomb.
Oh, God. The C-bomb.
I was talking to Jeff, and he was like, you know, dude, I think it'd be fun to do a show on, you know, just different theories about, you know, the world we live in, just, you know, different things about, you know, politics, the planet, the whatever.
What you can rattle some cages,
right?
You know,
you got to.
You got to tear it up.
And it's also, you know, this is what we like to do here on Teen Trends. We have fun. We have a good time with it, right? That's what we do.
Yeah, and with each other as well.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Whoa. Plenty of fun in the studio.
Plenty of fun in the sun. just playing around. So, we started talking, and we are indeed teenagers. Well, not so much Jeff. Jeff isn't too much of a teenager anymore. He's a big 20-year-old now.
Yeah.
And we, for the lulz, we're thinking of, you know, topics that would, you know, get you to be like, wait, what? And just we did our research, and we're gonna hit a couple interesting topics today. We're gonna start out with 9/11, believe it or not. I'm just going to go and say it.
Started strong.
Before we get into this, I want to just because this is a lot of radical stuff that a lot of people, you know, associate with lunacy and when someone brings up conspiracy theory, they assume you to be conspiring against the state.
So
you're a radical and whatever. But I want to start this off in a kind of rational way by pointing out a couple contradictions that really stand out to me personally in our nation. The first of which is we are the most powerful and wealthy, really kind of the same thing, country in the world.
Our
GDP, our national income is 20% larger than any other country in the world, including China. And at the same time, there are 40 million people in the United States who are starving of hunger. There are 40 million people in the United States who deal with chronic hunger. Also, our education system is in last place of all of the industrialized nations of the world.
Right.
And that just doesn't make any sense.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. No, it's totally crazy.
Our debt is larger than any other country in the world.
Exactly. And we'll get into, I hope we have time to get into why that is.
Indeed. We shall.
Yeah, indeed. And then the second contradiction is highlighting on our involvement in the Middle East right now. Our original excuse for going there was in preservation of national security.
Right.
And yet there are 10 million illegal immigrants who cross our borders every year.
Yeah.
And we're spending $500 billion a year on a war that is going nowhere.
Halfway across the world.
I was 11 years old when we went to engage war with the Middle East. Yeah. 11 years old, and I'm now 20. And this war has been going on for a very, very long time. It's comparable to the war in Vietnam.
Right.
So doing this under the guise of national security doesn't make any sense when we can't secure our own borders.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to get into this conspiracy theories plural. You know, the last 20, 30 years have prophesized this moment in time as being a time of prosperity and growth for not only our own nation, but for the entire world with technology. And we kind of imagine this, you know, Jetson future.
Yeah.
Clean energy, flying cars, the works. But we don't really have any of that. You know, we don't have efficient systems of transportation. We don't have clean energy or renewable energy or sustainable energy. And so where is this future that we were promised?
Right.
Or more importantly, who is keeping it from coming to fruition?
Right. So what I'm just gonna like get from what you're saying is we, you know, have this perception, we have this idea of this type of world.
Right.
You know, like, okay, quote unquote, we can call it the Jetsons.
Yeah, right. Jetson-esque.
Okay. But yet, like, you know, we're spending, $5 billion?
$500 billion
on a war.
Every year.
And another side note to the war is, you know, there's been a lot of controversy about, you know, is it for oil? Is it for this? Is it for that? Like, what's the war for?
Well,
you know,
it keeps changing.
Right. No, it keeps changing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this is why we're talking about conspiracies. Why does it keep changing? You know, and we at Teen Trends aren't, you know, a group of people to say, this is what's going on, like the world's a conspiracy. No, we're not saying that.
Yeah.
We're simply, you know, putting it out on the table and saying, listen, check this out. This this could be cool. What if?
Entertaining the idea.
Yeah. Entertaining the idea, exactly. We are not biased to this. We are not biased one way or another. We are simply entertaining the idea.
Precisely. Exactly. And we're asking questions about the things that don't make perfect sense.
Right.
Like, there's so many oddities out there, and it'd be stupid, not stupid, that's a harsh word. It would be...
Well, I feel like it's rather appropriate.
Yeah. I'd just say it'd be stupid not to question things in the world, because you should be aware of your surroundings. And if you're just living life like in your little bubble, then you're not really expanding your mind.
Right.
Exactly. And
you
know, and
you gotta be aware.
Let's not equate dissent with disloyalty.
Okay. Right.
Because I feel like a lot of people do, and that's a big mistake.
Yeah. Big yeah, I know. Mistake. Agreed. Xander.
Yeah.
I just see Xander like up on the mic like.
Oh no! I was daydreaming.
Daydreaming.
I feel like I'm gonna be sitting back, kind of with the viewer on this one, because I have not researched this nearly as much as Jeffrey. David has worked a little bit on this, and Kevin has looked into this as well. I did not prepare myself, and I'm just gonna be sitting back with the viewer, and
you can be asking questions for
exactly.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, ask questions. Be a part. You're on microphone. You're on the microphone. So yes, as we were saying.
Right. Continuing on.
So the Jetsons. Let's go on with the technology thing. Let's go on with our expectations, our perception of what, you know, the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years is going to be like. You know, like where we are now, what's being said and why it's not happening, who has control over this?
That's a tough one. Yeah,
that was rhetorical. Like,
right.
Yeah,
of course.
who's controlling this, Jeffrey?
I don't know. it could be anyone. It could be God. It could be worms. It could be
the cockroaches.
Freemasons. It could be the Illuminati. It could be your parents. who knows who it could be?
Your parents.
I have a question for everyone in the room. Why do you guys, let's just go around the table, why do you guys think we are in the Middle East for this war?
Why do I think we're in the Middle East?
Yeah, David, go. Shoot.
Well,
pew, pew.
my baby shot me down. I have a few beliefs. I, to be completely honest, am not a big fan of the news. I don't really watch the news.
You're a better person for it.
Yeah, no, yeah, right? Thank you. I have researched it, obviously, because it's going on in our world. It affects all of us. I think that the real reason why we're in the Middle East... Oh, goodness. I think it has... Honestly, I think it has a lot to do with oil.
Well, I gotta interrupt you on that because
do it.
There's a lot of mystery surrounding oil.
Right.
It's known as fossil fuels. Right.
Right.
Yeah, totally. The Geneva Convention established.
Explain what the Geneva Convention is for listeners.
No, I'll let them figure it out on themselves.
Okay.
that's a big part of like this whole conspiracy thing is that if is not because. The media is saturated with subjectivity,
right?
And that is a huge problem. And it's constructed the paradigm to not be independent,
right?
Or to think critically for themselves.
It tells us what to think.
Exactly.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about a lot of things. And I have a kind of imperialistic way of relaying information, and I tend to do it unilaterally.
Okay.
Which is a fault on my part. So I encourage. People to not just listen to what I'm saying, but to look it up for themselves and confirm it for themselves.
That's pretty solid.
Because you have, if you don't know it, then you know what I mean. Like if you have to ask, you'll never know.
We're not the news.
Right, we're not the news.
Think about it.
We're not the
news. You know, like we're not here to sit down and tell you what's going on. You know, just like throw a screen over over you and just be like, all right, this is what's going on.
These are the facts.
These are the facts.
Right,
you know, we're like, yo, listen, check this out. Get some proof. See what you think.
If it intrigues you, you're gonna go look at it. You know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Totally.
So anyway, Geneva Convention. They established the definition of, and basically just this board of scientists established the definition of organic.
Okay.
And anything that organic contains three molecules: oxygen, carbon, and hydrogen.
Right.
And so when they found oil or petroleum, it had oxygen, carbon, and hydrogen. And so it was assumed that this was decomposed. Prehistoric life.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that's fossil fuels. But the thing is that there are no fossil records below 16,000 feet, and we drill for oil at 25,000 to 30,000 feet. So the oil that we're drilling for is not decomposed life.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, I wish I could cite my source on this. But I am under... It is to my knowledge that that petroleum is the second largest, is the second most abundant fluid on Earth next to water.
Wow.
Yes. And so this notion is perpetuate the notion of scarcity.
Okay.
And so that is the justification to go and seize certain assets. And we're told that the Middle East has the majority of petroleum.
Right.
That's not true. They just are responsible for the majority of the distribution of petroleum.
Okay.
And, you know, with the oil spill off the Gulf, we spilled billions and billions of gallons of oil.
Yeah.
And we were told that we didn't have very many reserves. And we didn't have enough for our own country. What?
Yeah.
Like, what? That was one drill that popped.
Right.
And billions of gallons.
So what you're saying is we have water, which is the first abundant.
Yeah.
Second most abundant. Petroleum. And our excuse, the quote-unquote reason, per se, let's say the second reason, because the first reason is, you know, for national security, right?
Right.
Okay, so second reason, the second most logical, you could say, reason would be for fossil fuels.
Fossil fuels.
Petroleum.
Yeah. Petroleum.
Right.
I want to touch on the national security part.
Okay.
Yes, we had the 9/11 attacks, which we will touch on, but... So we go into Afghanistan. We go into Iraq, which is a country, a nation, whatever it is, that had no part in the 9/11 attacks. Saddam, it was Osama bin Laden, who is Taliban, who's Afghanistan, you know. Mm-hmm. And why are we in Iraq?
Well, the only evidence tying Osama bin Laden to being responsible for the 9/11 attacks is a confession tape.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of controversy surrounding that. Certain Islamic scholars say that the actual translation was kind of skewed, and the translators heard
like the translation of the video.
The translation of the video. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, we could go on forever into that. But if you, and I want to stay on something more solid with this. If you study American history, every war that we've engaged in has there's always been a catalyst.
Right.
And that catalyst always been an attack on American civilians or on American troops or some attack on American soil, beginning from the Spanish-American War. And so we have World War I, the attack on the Lusitania. Weeks before the Lusitania set sail, there were ads placed in the newspapers by German officials saying, if you cross these waters, you are subject to attack without warning. This is a war zone.
Okay.
She set sail anyway. World War II, the United States government kind of assumed the posture of war and ceased all imports from Japan, started financing and giving military aid to China, which is their national enemy.
Right.
Just more or less really, really pissed them off and got... They wanted an attack so that they could go and expand their military industrial complex.
Right. So what I'm getting is there's kind of like a format, like a specific, not necessarily
it's
format.
An
there's there, yeah, it's an equation. Well, there's a system.
Yeah.
There's a system behind. Sorry, Kev.
Right.
There's a system behind, you know, what it takes to create a war. But the system, you know, has different branches. It is indeed an equation, right? In the sense of obviously there's motive. Okay, there's some sort of motive.
Yeah, some incentive.
Catalyst. Right. And then you have like I want to talk about motive for a moment. Motive being the real motive being like the motive of why are we doing this? Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Not society's motive per se, but more the individual motive,
the ones responsible,
right, for why this is going on. We have that motive, then we have, you know, the other motive of why society should get involved, why this involves everybody else, why this is a big deal.
Well, because again, national security,
right.
Let me ask you this. I'm gonna bash you right quick.
Please.
Korea and Vietnam. What were the catalysts for Korea and Vietnam?
Well, along with every empire has, up until America, has been very open about what it is that they're spreading, either civilization or Christianity.
Communism.
Yeah, communism, whatever.
Yeah.
They're very open. This is what we're spreading. This is what we're doing. Blah, blah, blah. The American empire is very subtle. And it's not discussed, and it's not really in the immediate view
right.
of the public,
right?
Or awareness of the public. The way we spread our empire is by forcing countries to engage in democracy and markets, in global markets. Take Haiti, for example.
Okay.
Before we made Haiti compete in the global market, they had the food, the technology, and the resources to feed their people. But then we forced Haiti to compete in the global food market with American farmers who receive $1 billion of subsidies every year from the government.
Okay.
And so, obviously, the farmers read the signs of supply and demand in the market, and they knew that it was going to go bad, so a lot of the farmers fled and moved into the city. And they became more and more reliant on markets and purchasing their food that were imported from other countries,
as opposed to growing it
okay. in their own country,
right, right, right.
where it's much cheaper.
And they get paid for it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Totally. and so there's economic fallout and blah, blah, blah. But we perpetuate this idea of democracy and of markets as being a good thing. And
quote, being, unquote, freedom.
Freedom, yeah, right. Yeah. Freedom. This is the best way. It's a system that works. And you can buy things that you want. And you can have imports and commerce and success and prosperity.
Right.
And it's no different than saying, you know, this is the God that loves you and is promising salvation. And yet, how many people
right.
died before right, immediately after the words, if God be with us, who be against us?
no, no, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so with Vietnam, what we were doing is trying to promote democracy and markets into that area.
Well, I would say that's well known, the document that says a democratic country being attacked by a communist country, we have an act to
right.
defend them.
Right.
So, I mean, that information is there and easily accessible.
Yes, yes.
We still actually have that,
yes.
and that's actually part of our
yes.
system.
Yes, it is. It's, and you learn it in history.
Yeah.
Right. But the attack on American troops that instigated us engaging Vietnam directly actually never happened. And they disclosed this information about 10 years ago.
How do you know this?
It was in the media.
Oh, it was in the news. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Check it out. Look it up. It never happened.
Maybe I will, Jeff.
Do it. Google Maps, dog.
So that was a cover-up. Okay. They said that there was
It was
an
a cover-up.
Attack.
They lied about it. They did the same thing that they did with the Mexican-American War, where they kind of cried wolf and said Mexicans came onto American soil and
right.
attacked American troops, when really it was an armada of American troops that went over into the Mexican territory and raided a small village, and then the Mexican army came and killed them all, and that was all the cause that they needed
right.
to go and engage Mexico.
Retaliate.
War.
Yeah.
And then we got Texas and California and big fat piece
yeah, that,
piece
yeah
of land.
It's like the ripple effect, you
yeah,
know, like
totally.
You throw a pebble in the water.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say anyway. I would say let's move on.
So, you know, the thing about conspiracies that Jeffrey and I were talking about earlier is they all tie in.
Yes, most definitely.
They do, yeah.
One kind of connects to the other.
They all tie in.
Mm-hmm.
So, in dealing with the government, in dealing with, you know, cover-ups, politics, this and that,
right.
you know, it goes so much beyond that, right?
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry, Jeffrey, I'm going to interrupt you. If anybody wants to call in, talk to us about conspiracies.
Please call.
Please call. 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. You can also email me at teentrendswithdave@gmail.com. Once again, that's teentrendswithdave@gmail.com. I will get to your emails at the end of the show. So go on, Jeffrey.
Well, I think the biggest question is like, okay,
right.
let's assume that there is a group of people or something or some some entity that is conspiring against the world,
okay,
or the people, right? Who would it be? Who is it?
Who? Okay.
I would say that if you had to guess on any group of people as being responsible, it would be private bankers.
Okay. Explain.
Well,
I'd say money is where the power is.
Exactly. Well, money is where the power is. Money in you know, a society. No. In, I would say, the American society, at least. The way that things run, and this is not, you know, this is nothing conspiracy. There's nothing like that. This is simply from what it shows. This is simply from what is displayed, you know, on television, on, you know, the media, this, that. Money is power. Hands down, money is power. And yes, being parallels with money being power, the government controls the money, right? Per se.
Well, it's interesting. When you study American history, it's interesting to watch the progression of money assuming this position of power.
Right.
Or, money affording the power.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
a lovely quote from Franklin D. Roosevelt, our 32nd president of the United States. The real truth of the matter is that a financial element in the large centers has owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
And that's kind of progressed, and you can really see when financial influence takes hold of politics in 1913 with the establishment of the Federal Reserve. And for anybody who's listening right now, if you could just take out a dollar bill or find any, it's a 20, a 5, a 100, a single, it doesn't matter. But if you look at the upper left-hand corner, it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. And at the very top, it says Federal Reserve note.
Right.
Now, it's important to recognize that the Federal Reserve is as federal as Federal Express. It's a private bank that has nothing to do with the federal government. The bank presidents and the higher-ups of the Federal Reserve are not elected into office. They don't answer to anyone. And yet, their job is to regulate the currency of our nation.
Okay. I was just going to say, we were once again talking about this earlier. Listeners, if you're familiar with Zeitgeist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, the Federal Reserve, right? Think about it almost, consider it to be like a world bank. You could call it almost like...
Well, there is a world bank and an international monetary
system. No, right, there is. Right. What I'm saying is like... like... Okay.
Shut down.
David is a world bank.
I'm a nub right here. Is it the World Bank or the Federal Reserve that gives out the money?
Well, it's both.
Okay.
Because both banks give loans out.
Right.
And all of the money that's
All
the money that's circulating right now in our economy in the United States, that's money that is loaned to the United States government.
With interest. Right.
Exactly. So all of the current money flowing through our economic system right now has been loaned to us, and we have to pay that money back to the Federal Reserve with interest.
Right.
But the trick is, if all of the money that we use was given to us, how do we get the extra money to pay back the interest?
When
you deal with, we're going through a financial crisis right now, and what people don't understand is that recessions and inflation is an innate function of our economic system, because the more money we take out on loan, the more interest we have to pay back, and that's a negative that will never be filled, and it is only increasing.
No, right. It's
and
like
so perpetual debt.
It's like saying, hey, Xander.
Hola.
Can I borrow a dollar? No. You asked me to borrow a dollar. Ask me to borrow a dollar. Do it.
Can I borrow a dollar?
Yeah. But you will owe me $1.02.
Okay.
But I'm the only place that you can get money from. Therefore, you ask me for a dollar, and I say, okay, but you're going to have an interest of 2 cents. So you ask me for a dollar, I give you a dollar, but you owe me $1.02. You need that extra 2 cents. You say, hey, could I have 2 cents to pay you back? You say, yeah, you owe me 3 cents. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so
it's
like, funny.
Yeah, no, it contradicts itself. I mean,
exactly. Theoretically speaking, we will always be in debt.
Always be in debt.
My question is, don't you put money into products and sell them, and you can, that's how you make money. You manage to, you put less money into something and make it worth more money, so then you get money. That's how everything works.
Right, right. So, yeah, more capital comes in through imports and exports.
So why don't we, exports, you rather. Can simply just,
but
that's how
all that
works.
Money right. goes back into paying the interest that we owe the Federal Reserve
right.
and the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank.
Right. I want to move on to another conspiracy idea. With you know, with money, with the government, with all this, I would say that there's a lot that is hidden. You know, there's a lot that is unspoken, and you know, for its own reasons and whatnot. Thus being, I'm gonna say it, aliens.
I can throw a few conspiracies out there for you guys.
Okay. The thing about aliens is, you know, the government has always denied, the idea of there being extraterrestrial life.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been, you know, per se, quote unquote, any real proof that has been released to the public for extraterrestrial life.
Yeah, there's just as much proof for aliens as there is for God.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Except for NASA astronauts from NASA that have been to space. They come out on these little, these little talk shows on
like LA radio,
like little early morning talk shows that air like between like 2 and 6 in the morning, and you know, I kind of find it a bit ridiculous that's the most air that they can get. You know, like, one of the biggest topics in the history of this planet, which I would say, you know, concerns this planet so much, oh my goodness, is there other life? Are there other beings that parallel? Well, of course, but we're not going to go into that. How about other beings that parallel Earth society, you know? And, you know, the most airtime, the most, you know, controversy that this idea of UFOs, of aliens gets is, you know, a few astronauts that are, you know,
whistleblowers,
right, long time
like
out on NASA, yeah, there you go, you know, and then they come on the air, you know, 4 a.m. just to talk about this, you know, that's when everybody's fucking asleep, excuse my language, but like, I want to talk about, you know, certain possibilities and certain ideas, certain beliefs behind this. Kevin, I'm going to strike you because Kevin and I have had wonderful, wonderful conversations about there being extraterrestrial life, and I'm calling you out.
Call me out. I'm going to get you back.
Do it.
The bomb.
Right now, what is your belief on extraterrestrial life? I want to hear it.
My belief, I am an open-minded person. If there is life out there, there very well could be. This is a huge universe. There's billions and billions and billions and billions of light years, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But my thing is we will never, ever, ever encounter extraterrestrial life.
How do you know that?
Because in order for a being – okay, we have telescopes that can see millions of light years away.
Right.
All right? All right? For a being to travel – okay, there is no possible way, physically possible way – for a being to travel at the speed
that we
of light.
Know of,
according to our laws
yeah.
of physics,
right.
according
and
to
our
laws of physics,
of
there
world.
Is no possible way to for a being to travel at the speed of light because their molecules would just shatter everywhere, splatter everywhere, and there would be no way for them to reassemble. So, in order for us to encounter alien life, which I do not believe we have had that encounter before, is because they would be having to travel millions and millions of light years from where we are, or from like wherever they were to where we are now, and that would take millions and millions and millions of years at light speed, which I believe to be impossible to attain that speed.
So,
because you need infinite energy to travel at the speed of light,
okay.
like literally infinite energy right. to travel at the speed of light.
Right. But this is another thing that I want to touch on. See, we don't know if, okay, so I'm gonna speak hypothetical. If there are, you know, extraterrestrial beings, extraterrestrial life, we don't know if they would be more advanced. We don't know if they'd, you know, be less advanced one way or another. But hypothetically speaking, let's say that they're more advanced. All we know, all we can perceive is all we can perceive. We don't know everything there is to know. We don't know, you know, all these different laws of, you know, physics, of, you know, the traveling of energy, this and that. We the speed of light, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know all these different, you know, possibilities because all we can do is think and perceive of all our brains can get. We only use, as human beings, 10% of our brains. As human beings, we only use 10% of our brains.
That's not a true fact.
I use 4%.
That's not a true fact, actually.
Okay.
You are
explain,
wrong.
Explain.
I'm forgetting the... Thank you. When you take a scan of the brain and you can see the energy output of the brain.
Right.
When you look at a picture of that, simply looking at that, you can see that some areas are red, blue, yellow. Every part is nearly being used.
It's not every part. I've seen it.
They are being used. I've done that research. Scientifically proven that 10% is really wrong.
Here's the thing, though. Think about this.
Dude, I would pick my nose way more if I only used 10% of my brain. my butt too.
Think about this. Okay, take a brain. All listeners, think. Just this is gonna be
a little bit scientific.
Take a brain, put it in your hand.
Find the nearest brain. Halloween, people. Just
whip out the brains. No. Okay, so just imagine a brain in your head. You have the left side of the brain, right side of the brain. Now, you know what? Even if you want, go on your computers, look it up. Okay, and then find, like, the little parts of the brain. They, indeed, of course you're going to use some of your right side, some of your left side, but regardless, okay, we do not use all of our brains. It is, if we used all of our brains, like, we would have flying cars, I believe. We would have obtained the knowledge to, you know, do these things, to lead the Jetsons' future.
No,
right?
I would argue. I would say we already have that knowledge, and what has restricted that is, it's again our system. It restricts that type of aggression.
I would agree, but at the same time, like, what? Yeah, okay, we're gonna go red.
No.
Why don't we see it? Why don't we know about it? Now, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Personally, I do believe that it exists, you know, somewhere. But if we you know, it never stops. There's no limit. There's absolutely no limit to what we can do.
Okay, right quick. With conspiracy theories, I enjoy conspiracy theories that are backed by true statements. Like the fact that, 9/11, the plane that flew into the first building flew right over a nuclear power plant that if they would have crashed into that would have wiped out the entire East Coast. That is a fact. Okay,
right.
I like conspiracy theories that are based on facts. And to simply say that there could be different laws of physics in the universe, that's like me saying, I'm shooting lasers out of my finger right now. Prove that I'm not. Like,
That's like saying
prove there aren't laws of there are different laws of physics. Like, what we have right now is proof of, like, our laws of physics, all right?
Okay. Our laws of physics, then.
Okay, well, that's like saying, like, I don't know. That's like the whole God argument. Like, prove there's not a God. Prove there is a God. Prove there's not, you know?
There are many, many what are known as ontological arguments. Which an ontological argument is such, or is an argument where the idea is such that it has to exist. And St. Thomas Aquinas has five ontological proofs proving the existence of God.
Right.
And they're very complex, and I won't get into them now. But there are logical proofs and ways of. It's fucking complicated. It's freaking complicated.
This is fine. This is indeed internet radio.
So, but I can. In response to you, this would be my retort to a. Trying to develop a comprehensive understanding of infinite.
Yeah.
Take that into perspective, and then if we are the only intelligent life, what an awful waste of space.
Right.
Yeah. First thing.
Yeah.
Second thing is, a generalization is an argument where you have a sample and the whole group. And so say you have a parking lot, and there are 40 red cars. and there are 100 cars total. A generalization is taking that sample of 40 red cars and then assuming that the whole group, the 100 cars, are all red.
Right.
And so our sample, all of our knowledge of anything and everything,
right,
occurred on this one rock floating around one of trillions of stars.
Right, right, right.
In one of infinite amount of galaxies in an ever-expanding universe. And so our sample size is so small compared to
the entire
whole.
Right.
To say that there is no life, or to even say that there is life, is the most disgusting generalization that anyone could ever conceive of.
Right.
And that's all that I would have to say to that.
I also want to point something out. I want to jump back really quick to Xander's comment of the brain, of how it is not a proven fact that we use 10%. I see what you're saying, but there is indeed a difference between conscious cognitive functions and autonomic brain functions that seem like we're using more of our brain under like a scannable brain scan. Being like, for example, when I snap my fingers, y'all, you hear that? I snap my fingers.
Boom.
See, when I snap my fingers, I'm using a part of my brain. There's a part of my brain that if it were to be under a cognitive like scan, under like a brain scan right now, that would light up. That would light up before I even snap my fingers. I'm talking right now and different parts of my brain are lighting up. Now I'm, you know, of course speaking hypothetically, that my brain is, you know, being tracked, being scanned. You know, I'm anything you do. See, Kevin right now is drinking water in the studio. His brain just lit up. Now that is that is, you know, the parts of the brain that indeed could be, you know, lighting up. And then of course we have the subconscious in which we are not completely conscious of, hence subconscious. Now the subconscious takes over so much. We can only consciously think about so much, but our brains are constantly ba 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 ba, right? So I guess you could say that, you know, indeed subconsciously and consciously, you know, cognitive autonomically, we are using more than 10% of our brains. But what we actually conjure, what we actually express, and what
we're
actually
aware of,
thank you.
Conscious of.
And conscious, and that, you know, ties into the whole idea of awareness, and I'm not even going to get into that.
but like, namaste.
Yeah, namaste. Nam-myoho Renge-kyo.
Namaste.
Right? But that idea, you know, allows us those other, you know, autonomic, the things are just automatic, you know, the things that we aren't consciously thinking of, those thoughts could be, you know, pushed back. No, they are pushed back, and we aren't really able to our fullest extent to
bring those
tap
forward.
Into those, to bring those forward. And that's where the whole idea of, you know, what's possible, what's infinite.
Using the entirety of your brain.
Exactly. Because our brain, this world is created on our brain. A brain created this microphone that we're talking on, this, you know, this everything, this table, this chair that we're sitting on, everything a brain created. Somebody, some being.
And affirms
being,
it with sensory perception.
Yeah, exactly. Affirms it with the idea that, you know, the world, you can hear me now, and I am indeed talking on a microphone that is broadcasting, right? So this is a, you know, physical manifestation of what somebody thought of. Now, there we go. Like, that, you know, strikes also the idea of, okay, if we can create a microphone using this, what else can we create? If we can create, you know, cars, if we can do this and that, what
dildos.
If, you know, we... Oh, goodness, Jeff. Oh, goodness, Jeffrey. You know, that opens it up. I got some emails from listeners that I would like to touch on before we end the show. It says, hey, Teen Trends, I want to thank you for talking about the unspeakable on the radio that broadcasts worldwide. I feel people need to look at what's in front of them. I feel that people's views on conspiracies have bad connotations. I'm just writing you to thank you for bringing logic to reality. Thank you, Senja.
Thank you, Senja.
Thank you, Senja.
It's an awesome name.
Good looking guy.
That is an awesome name,
sir.
yes, you're welcome. We simply are doing this for the stimulation. Stimulating talk radio. No, I'm totally stealing that from like...
Stimulating talk radio.
Right? Hello, Teen Trends. What makes you think that all these beliefs are true? Please expand because I need proof before I give in to what y'all are saying. Mark.
Hmm. Well,
y'all best explain now.
Yeah, y'all.
I would say, Mark, for, you know, the sake of the show, do research, brother.
Like, if you want to do research.
If it intrigues you, then research it, because we're throwing out facts that we questioned.
If
you question something, look it up, get into it,
see your own
mindset on it, rather than the media telling you what to do, or us telling you what to do. We're not telling you what to do. We're telling you our beliefs.
If you don't want to listen to it, I will say this. I'm going to sound like a dictator when I say this. But
you're such a dick-tater.
Tater. They you're call a tater me tater dot. Salad.
Okay, go.
None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free.
Boom.
Jeffrey.
Bombs.
Bombs. I would say, Mark, if you want, I will definitely, you know, give you a lot more information. I'll send you some websites. That I actually, you know, aren't conscious of at the top of my brain, but, you know, I have them bookmarked on Stumble and stuff. But send me an email, teentrendswithdave@gmail.com. Mark, I hope I hear from you. But I will indeed expand, and we're not proving anything to you. We're just giving you ideas. Want to make that clear. Yes, Kevin.
If any of you guys want to check out a cool conspiracy theory website that has conspiracy theories backed with facts, and if you are intrigued by conspiracy theories, it's www.prisonplanet.com. Prison Planet. Check that website out. Good website.
It's interesting. We have one more email. Sup Trends. I like that. Sup Trends.
Sup.
I appreciate the controversy, but how many people do you actually think are going to believe conspiracies? Just wondering your take on the population's beliefs. Daniel. Daniel, once again, we are not trying to get anybody to believe anything. I want to make that clear.
Speak for yourself.
I'm just kidding. No.
We're just stating our questions.
We're simply exercising
our brains.
Exercising our brains. Exercising the ideas of what if. And to answer your question, how many people do we actually think are going to believe conspiracies in the world's population? I don't know. I have no idea.
I would say as many people who are willing to admit that they've been wrong.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Because this is in radical opposition to what the majority believes and what we've all been told our entire lives.
Right.
It's like being raised into a religious family, and then you just automatically believe it. So, exactly.
And once again, we're not bashing religion.
No, we're not bashing religion at all.
We're saying, on a side note with religion, right? You know, at birth, you're given a book. You're told about the book, and that's it. And okay, this is right, this is wrong. That's what I follow. I would agree. It's like the same thing. Oh wow, that just sparked something. We're not saying religion's a conspiracy.
Oh gosh.
although there are those who would say that.
Religion is a whole other topic which we could touch on.
We have 2 minutes left on the show.
No, not like for another show.
Yeah. I wanted Jeffrey to actually talk about. let's give a quick summary, because this is super cool. Things about Thomas Jefferson.
No. Okay. Was it not Thomas Jefferson? A wonderful speech by John F. Kennedy. Because John F. Kennedy was a great leader and a very charismatic speaker.
You got a minute.
I got a minute.
Wow. Okay. Come on, brother.
This is a speech to spend some thoughts.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. But we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on filtration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations.
Can you sum up what that means, right?
It means exactly what
he said.
Yeah. What he said.
Yeah.
This was the president, and he was killed for it.
Look that up, guys.
John F. Kennedy.
That intrigues you?
John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy speeches.
Yeah. It's on YouTube.
Oh, yes, it is on YouTube. You actually showed me that. I want to thank you guys so very much for being on Teen Trends. Kevin, co-host, I love you.
Love you.
Xander.
Hola.
Always love.
Adios.
And special guest, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for your beliefs, for your controversy. We love it, brother.
What a pleasure, dude. Thanks
again.
Yeah,
man. This is Teen Trends with Dave and friends on LATalkRadio.com. Check us out. You can email me, teentrendswithdave@gmail.com. You guys have a happy, a safe, an exciting Halloween. It's a beautiful Sunday, and we love you. Bye-bye.